Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our associate pastor.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning. I didn't know if I was going to make it, but I'm here. We were around some people earlier, about a week ago, who had COVID, and I got tested. My test just never came. They finally came, and I was negative. So it's really good to be with you all this morning as we continue our sermon series in Ecclesiastes. We've been in Ecclesiastes for the last several weeks. And before we dig into Ecclesiastes, there's something that we always say here to get us started. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids here. Some don't have kids. Some wish they could have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today, and we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Well, we've been on this journey through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're in chapter 11 today if you want to find that place in your Bible or turn on your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're only going to be in just a number of verses today. And Ecclesiastes, if you can summarize it, or if you could summarize it, it could be called a poetic book that records a search for an adequate philosophy of life. What is the meaning of life? What are the keys to happiness in life? What should we prioritize in life? What will bring fulfillment in life? And you can read this almost like a journal entry week after week as we've been going through this from perhaps King Solomon as he examines what are the keys to an adequate philosophy of life. This is someone who had all the resources in the world, who had arrived in every way that you can imagine, and who could explore everything that life had to offer. And today, we're turning to a really important group of people as far as who this passage is addressed to young people. Young people. And I'm the college minister here, so it's fun to share this passage of scripture, and this applies to college age students, people maybe who are younger, people who are older. But as a young person, what's the best way to enjoy life? What should you be thinking about as you enjoy life and think about the future? If you'll look with me at verse 7 in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it says, "The light is pleasant, and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. And everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." Point one, if you look at verses 7 and 8, be joyful. Every day is a gift. Last week we looked at a passage right before this in Ecclesiastes 11 where the writer says, if there's anything you want to pursue in life, anything that God's put on your heart, pursue it. Go after it. Don't wait for the perfect conditions before you get started, because time is limited. And here he says, every day is a gift. It says, the light is pleasant and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. It's good to wake up in the morning and to be able to live your life. It's good to be alive. Life should be enjoyed, not endured. If you're a young person, if there's something you want to do, do it. I have a friend who is really into exercise and fitness, and he biked all the way from, I think, the Keys all the way up to Maine. He did that. I don't know why he would find that to be something joyful, but he did that. He pursued that. I've known people going to Europe and biking through Ireland. That sounds better. But if that's something that you want to do, do it while you have the chance. Happiness is for today. Happiness is for today. It says, if a man should live many years, let them rejoice in them all. This is not just saying that happiness is reserved for the young. We should enjoy all of our years. But we should remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Days of darkness are coming. Times of futility are coming. You're not going to be able to bike from South Florida to Maine one day. Your body won't let you to allow you to do that. And the writer here says it this way. I got this from a commentary. It says, he's not suggesting that young people have no problems or that older people have no joys. He's simply making a generalization that youth is the time for enjoyment before the problems of old age start to reveal themselves. So every day is a gift. Enjoy it. Number two, be joyful. You're only young once. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. That seems dangerous, doesn't it? Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. In other words, take it all in. The word pleasant, let your days be pleasant. This is the idea of let your days be pleasing. Let your days be enjoyable. Let your days be fulfilling. There are special pleasures that belong to the young that can never be experienced in the same way again. Would you agree with that? People who aren't as young? I was trying to think of some privileges that are reserved for the young, and I came up with a list here of some privileges that are reserved for people that are a little bit younger, maybe sitting on this side of the room. There are less responsibilities, less burdens. There's the excitement of new friendships and new experiences. Not all of you, but many of you have a lot of discretionary time. Enjoy food before your metabolism slows down. There's this thing, maybe if you're a little bit older, especially if you have young kids, there's this thing called uninterrupted sleep. Enjoy it while it lasts. Laugh more. Worry less. Enjoy having energy. Enjoy living in the moment, and don't be preoccupied with what comes next. Have goals, but enjoy the stage of life that you're in. Enjoy recreation. Enjoy the fact that your body still works right. Our college students have, they do this thing where they have the hammock that's like a portable hammock that they can carry it around, and they'll latch it to their backpack. And then when the urge hits them, they just set up their hammock wherever they want on campus. A time is coming when it will be probably dangerous for you to try to climb into a hammock unassisted. You're in the prime of your life. Go to the beach. Play disc golf. Enjoy trying new things and meeting new people. There's this place that I've heard about called, I think it's called Cookout or the Cookout. It's in Valdosta, Georgia. For $5, you can get a three-part meal. You can get a main dish. As a side item, you can get a quesadilla. I get it right? You can get a chicken wrap. You can get a drink. And for 35 cents, you can substitute that drink for a milkshake. Yeah? Okay. Who's experienced the Cookout? Wow, way more than I. Okay, let me ask you this. If you have left Gainesville to drive an hour and a half just to eat at the Cookout at midnight, any of you guys have done this? All right. You guys are crazy. Don't be a loner. Get involved with other relationships with other committed believers so that you can laugh together, cry together, grow together, and love life together. This is C.S. Lewis. He says, friendship is the greatest of worldly goods. Certainly to me, it is the chief happiness of life. If I had to give a piece of advice to a young man about a place to live, I think I should say, sacrifice almost everything to live where you can be near your friends. Pursue your passions in life. What drives you? What motivates you? Early in this chapter, Solomon says, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the crowds will not reap. If you're waiting for perfect conditions, you'll never get started. Young men, I'm really kind of getting to the weeds now. If there's a young lady that you've noticed, and she's a godly young lady with great character, and you think she's out of your league, but you keep thinking about her, ask her out. She might say yes. She might say no. But if you're going to get shot down boldly. Young lady, if there's a young man who's shown interest in you and he takes care of himself and he has great character. By the way, Song of Solomon, also written, perhaps Solomon wrote both books. He talks about the pursuit of a young woman, and he says that the young man, it says that his name is like purified oil, meaning that he's a man of character. His name is like purified oil. If this guy in your community, in the community of faith that you're walking in, and stick to the community of faith as far as considering people of the opposite sex, and stay in that community as you're dating, have accountability. If his name is like purified oil, but you aren't sure if you like him, give him a chance. You might be surprised. Let him buy you some food. You aren't signing your life away. Have fun relating to someone of the opposite sex. You'll learn a lot about yourself in the process. And if you aren't feeling it, you can let him know. If he's a man, his ego can handle it. You want to have fun as a young person? Sell out for Jesus. I think our students have more fun walking with the Lord than any students in Gainesville. And they can have fun without shame, without regret. Go overseas on that mission trip while you still have the time. People say that short-term mission trips are a waste of money. I disagree. You know, often the people who are the ones who give are the ones who've been. There's a quote that I heard a couple years ago. It says, the heart cannot feel what the eye has not seen. So go, experience it. I would love for every one of our college students to spend a summer overseas serving the Lord in a different culture. It says, enjoy life. But there are some warnings to be given here about enjoying life unrestrained. God will bring sinful actions into judgment. In your enjoyment, make sure that there are some parameters you're living by. You have to control your temptations. Say yes to new experiences, but you also need to have the ability to say no. This is from the Net Bible. It says, seek joy within God's moral standards. Freedom is not found in reckless autonomy. It's found in obedience to the Lord and his standards. Many young people sow their wild oats, and then they pray for crop failure later. In Hebrews 5, there's an interesting verse, Hebrews 5:14. It says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Solid food's for the mature. So let me ask you a question. Who's the most mature? Is it always based on age? Who the most mature is? Is it the people that know the largest number of Bible verses? Are these the most mature? Are the people who are the most expert in theology and can defeat you in any theological argument? Maybe the people who have the fattest notebooks as a result of teaching that they've heard? In this verse, it says, the mature are those who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil by constant use and application. Knowing Bible verses is great, and sitting under great teaching is crucial, but it's by constant use and application. The mature are people who have trained themselves, they have their senses trained to discern between good and evil. This is from J.D. Greer. He's a pastor in North Carolina. He says, here's some hindrances to young people fulfilling their calling in life. I shared this with some students the other night. Some hindrances. Number one, these are the ones who get swept away because their roots aren't deep enough. And Jesus talks about the parable of the soils in the Gospels, and it says that people who don't have enough root, they get swept away by all the pressures of life. So I'd say get help with your walk with God when you're young. Make your walk with God a priority. Wouldn't it be a shame to be a young person, maybe go to school and get all this academic training, or go to college and get all this academic training, or go to trade school or get plugged in with a great job and get this training in how to be successful in your career, but not get any training in how to walk with God? Calvin shared this before. It's the idea of climbing the ladder of success and then realizing that your ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. So get some training. Be discipled. Make disciples. Get into the Word of God for yourself. I brought up here one of my study Bibles. This is the NIV study Bible here, and this is my journal and my Bible reading calendar. And discovering study Bibles changed my life years ago. You see here at the top, scripture, then at the bottom, it just has some commentary on what you're reading to explain what you're reading so you don't get bogged down. And I discovered this. It's just really helped me understand what I was reading in scripture. There's so many great study Bibles out there. And this is my Bible reading calendar where I'm trying to read through the Bible, and my journal where I take notes from sermons that I've heard, and pretty fat notebook. I mentioned fat notebooks earlier. Prioritize spending time with God every day. Get into the Word of God. Dig into the Word of God. Make your walk with God a priority. So people struggle because their roots aren't deep enough. Here's another one. Purity. Not living within the boundaries that God has established. In 1 John, it talks about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. The lust of the flesh, this is not being able to control your impulses. Not being able to control your desires. Not keeping appropriate boundaries. Lust of the eyes, this is driven by the desire to obtain things, to get things. Materialism is something you'll have to master in life. The desire for things can distract you from what's most important, especially, I think, in our society. You would think that our society would be the happiest, most fulfilled society in the world if it was based on things. But I would say we're probably one of the most unhappy societies in the world. If you prioritize things in life, you'll end up serving things. And the pride of life, this is the idea of just wanting to be the best, wanting to be better than other people, not being teachable, not being humble, not being a servant, but wanting to be served. Everybody struggles with all three, but we often tend to gravitate towards one of these. So we need to master our desires. And maybe you felt this way. You're trying to live by God's boundaries, by God's standards. I found this week in a book that I was reading. This is from Psalm 73. It says, I envy the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree. They increase in wealth. When we look at our own lives in comparison to the ease the wicked have, we appear to have been cheated. Have you ever felt cheated because you were trying to keep God's standards in life? You're missing out. We're trying to do what God wants. And what do we get? We just get more troubles and more correction every morning. And we can begin to feel self-pity. And we can begin to feel like noble martyrs. This noble martyr, I'm so noble, I'm trying to live right while the world around me is having a good time. God's training program, and this is from the book, it says, is sometimes extremely hard for us. And those who are not Christ followers seem to have it so easy. But listen to this. But let time go on and see who really prospers in life. It takes time. This is from Charles Spurgeon. It says, youthful sins lay a foundation for aged sorrows. Okay, number three, be joyful. It takes the right mindset. It says, so remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. This is the way the New Living translates it. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy, but remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. It says, remove grief and anger from your heart. This is the idea of, this is a word that sometimes translated vexation or anger. Remove it from your heart. This could also be translated or paraphrased, relax. Don't take things too seriously. Don't get preoccupied with setbacks or frustrations. Don't get preoccupied with worry about tomorrow. Enjoy today. There's a lot of pressures that young people face as far as, I mean, just all the unknowns of life. Okay, what job am I going to have, or where am I going to live, or who am I going to marry, or just go, it goes on and on, and we can become preoccupied with these things. Do you want a key to discovering God's will for your life? Maybe some of the best advice on discovering his will that I've heard. Walk with God day by day. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord and with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Or in other words, he'll smooth out your path. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Surrender all your ways to him day by day by day, and he will guide you. He will smooth out your path. If you want a sure way to miss God's will for your life, don't walk with God. Have a rebellious spirit. Don't live within the boundaries that he's established for you. Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I haven't found myself yet. I haven't found my purpose yet. This is from Tony Evans. He says, don't worry about locating your purpose. If you're seeking after God, don't worry about locating your purpose if you are seeking after God, because your purpose will locate you. It says, put away things that bring your body pain, or put away pain from your body. So take a look around. Take a look at what alcohol does to your body. Or take a look at what drugs will do to your body. Take a look at what tobacco will do to your body. Take a look at what overwork will do to your body. When I was in seminary years ago, I went to seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and I was helping out some at a homeless shelter there in Fort Worth. And it was run by a guy that I knew, and they would recruit seminary students to come and help out, and they had services on Sunday, and they did a food kitchen, and they would give people rides to church. And I'll never forget it. We were just hanging out one day at the church on Sunday, and I met this guy. He was probably in his 30s or 40s. And he really made a mark on me just talking to him. And he told me a little bit about his story. And he shared with me that years prior, he had been a college student at the University of Texas in Austin. And he had gotten involved in drugs. And he just got involved with that, and it got a hold of his life. And he was living on the street there in Fort Worth. And it just really, just kind of, and he seemed like such a nice guy, and he wasn't mentally all there anymore because of what the drugs had done to him. And that just stayed with me. I've never forgotten meeting him. Someone who had so much potential in life. He'd gone to a great school, University of Texas. I'm a Sooner fan, so I don't think it's that great, but it's a good school academically. University of Texas, really hard school to get into. But his life had been derailed because of drugs. There are consequences to our actions, and the consequences are non-negotiable. And we will experience pain if we participate in things that bring our bodies pain. So, young person, I would encourage you, be like Timothy. This is 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Serve God early. The very next verse after this passage in chapter 12, and we'll get to this passage next week, it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And that word remember is to act decisively on behalf of someone, so act decisively on behalf of your Creator. Serve God early. Fear God early in life. Don't have a testimony where I made a mess of my life until I repented in the midst of my problems, and now God's helping me put the pieces back together. Serve God early. Fear God early in life. We need to be anchored in our relationship with Jesus. I shared earlier that life is a gift, and the gift of life that God gives to us is best understood as it relates to the gift of eternal life made possible through the death and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus. The key to living that fulfilled life, as Jesus said in John 10, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, is found in Jesus Christ. This is from Chuck Swindoll. He says there's two things here in this verse that can hinder us from our pursuit of God's happiness. Number one is making excuses and not getting started. Secondly is living independently and rebelliously, thinking that you can do it on your own, rebelling against God's standards and trying to do things your way in life. When we accept Christ, when we become believers in Him, the Holy Spirit comes within us, and our desires change, our want to changes. That desire to serve God and walk by His commands change. But for some people, that want to never changes because they've never accepted Jesus, truly. They might be religious, or they may have been around the church, or they may have religious Christian friends, but the want to has never changed. This is from Greg Laurie. He's a pastor out in California. I found this a year or so ago. It's really helpful. If the want to hasn't changed, then your heart hasn't changed, because the Holy Spirit brings change in our lives. So these are some questions that someone can ask to know if they're truly changed, if they're truly converted. Number one, and we should have this on the screen, this is from 1 John. John, the Gospel of John was written so that people may know that they have eternal life. 1 John is written so that you can know for sure that you have eternal life. Number one, you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in Him and He in God. So that's not all you have to do. It's not just confessing verbally. There has to be a heart change, but you need to do it. This is why at the end of services like this, we give people the opportunity to do that, to confess Jesus publicly as Lord. People around you should know that you're a believer. So number one, you'll confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Number two, you will obey the commands of Christ. Not perfectly. We all have that sin nature, but you will obey. There will be a desire to obey. 1 John 5:3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said in another place, you are my friends if you do what I command you. He didn't say you obey whatever you find easy or whatever you personally agree with, but you will obey the commands of Christ. Number three, you will be miserable sinning. 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God practices or habitually sins, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you're comfortable in sin, if you're comfortable violating the boundaries of God, maybe you're not truly a child of God this morning. It says in the Bible, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You will feel discomfort. You will feel a sense of guilt in your sin. If you can go out and commit those sins without any discomfort, without any sense of guilt, you need to ask yourself if you're truly saved. But here's the good news. If you are in sin, but you are feeling discomfort about your sin, that's good news. That's really good news. That's saying to me that you are indeed a child of God. This is how one pastor puts it, and we talked about this morning in Life Group. A way you can be saved, or know that you're saved, is by your desire. your inward desire? Do you have a desire to know God? Do you have a desire to please God? After you become a Christian, your desires change. Number four, you will keep yourself from the devil. 1 John 5:18, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. So who keeps the believer? God does. But this does mean that I will keep myself from people, places, and activities that would make it easier for the devil to tempt me. Do you have triggers? Things that trigger you in a desire to sin? I was talking to one guy. He's a pastor friend back home, and he's a big Louisville football fan. He's from Louisville, and he says that he has to kind of guard watching Louisville football because that triggers him. For some of us, like, the party scene is something that's alluring. Like, we want, there's something about that. Or maybe it's some other type of sin, some sexual sin, or you name it. This means I will hang around people, or not hang around people, or places or things that will trigger me spiritually. But this also means I will hang around people and places and do things that will build me up spiritually. And number five, you will love other Christians. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him, 1 John 5:1. Do you have the desire to be around other Christians? Do you long to fellowship with other believers? This is why church is so important. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, not the forsaking of assembling together. You will love and desire to be around other Christians. So let me review these really quickly. You will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will obey the commands of Christ. You will be miserable sinning. You will keep yourself from the devil. And number five, you will love other Christians. These are just some ways that we can know from Scripture whether we're truly a child of God or not. So some of you, you've made a decision for Christ. In the past, that was authentic. You trusted in him for salvation, but maybe you've fallen into a life of sin, but you feel guilty. You feel shame. You feel unworthy and condemned. This does not mean that you're not saved. Romans 8:1 says that there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is my encouragement to you. Get plugged into community. Get involved with other Christians. Get involved in a life group. Get plugged into church. Today is the day that you can get a fresh start. For some of you, you aren't sure if you're a follower of Christ. We want to give you that opportunity today to nail that down. This does not mean that you have all your questions answered, but there'll be someone here who can discuss this with you, or you can talk with someone after the service just to understand more fully what that means to be a follower of Christ. We want to give you that opportunity. But today is the day to live. Today is the day of salvation. God in his grace wants us to enjoy life. And true life is found when we make our relationship with him our foundation. Let's pray.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.